Well, in a couple of weeks, Julianne Metzger gets to go to Mississippi with students from Grove City College to help with some good work there. Check out your bulletin insert and pray for her. Be a part of that. And that'll be a very helpful time to the people there. Want to mention also Bob Brocker, who was one of the missionaries here last week, said that in Venezuela, next week they're having a Bring a Friend to Church Day. That's a big event for them. In Venezuela, not a lot of people will go to worship God on any kind of regular basis. So pray for Bob, pray for the work in Venezuela, and that Bring a Friend Day next Sunday. And for folks coming out of or facing surgery, thank the Lord Dale Matthews had good cataract surgery this week and is healing up very well. And keep in prayer Jeffrey Ewing as he possibly faces gallbladder surgery, and for God's help to be with everyone who has physical difficulties there. Once a teenage daughter asked her parents for the car keys and said, "Can I have the car keys Friday night? I'd like to stay out till midnight if possible." Her parents said, "Well, you can have the car keys, but want you home at 10 o'clock. And the teenage daughter yelled back at her parents, "Why do you hate me?" Because she felt there were boundaries on her, there were rules on her, but she didn't necessarily feel loved by her parents at that point. She felt they just want to control my life. I'm not sure they love me. And that's what a lot of rules do for us without the feeling of love that comes along with it, as a part of Patty's testimony was. The rules were there, but until Christ was there, the love wasn't known. And so one way to produce a lot of animosity or anger, if you're raising children, rules, 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 the connection of love not there, they will get in your face, no doubt about it. And so sometimes that represents the way we treat God when we feel like he tells us what to do all the time, but at any one given time, we don't necessarily know or feel that he loves us. We yell to God and pick a fight with him. "Lord, why do you hate me? You're telling me what to do, but I don't know if I can trust you because I don't really know that you love me." And that produces a great animosity between us and the Lord. In the old movie, The Godfather, one of the main characters, Al Pacino, who plays the Godfather, says this line in the movie, somewhat here, paraphrasing. He says, "I don't want to be a puppet on a string with everybody else pulling the strings." He's a member of organized crime, and so he's caught in a corrupt, sinful system. He says, "I don't want to be a puppet on a string and everybody else pulling my strings." And then he says this, "I want to be the guy pulling the strings and having control over everybody else's life." And that's a powerful picture of sin and what sin does for us. Because we not only want to get everybody else on a string, doing what we want them to do in a devastating way, we want to get God on the string and pull the strings and let him be the puppet. We pick a fight with him in that way. God would turn the question back on us, however, and does so in the Bible, especially in the gospel lesson today. The Lord looks back at us and says, "Why do you hate me? Why do you hate me?" That we would try to control God in that way. Jesus said in John chapter 15 that those who were not at peace with God hated Jesus and hated God without reason. It was an irrational thing that we should sin against God in this way. In later on in the Bible, in the book of Romans, there's a list of all the symptoms of what it's like to turn our back on God or to have alienation against him. One of the words Paul uses in Romans 1, verse 30 is this, that people become God haters. That's a devastating phrase. In my life, I've been called haters of many things. I've been called a snake hater. When there's a snake, I run the other way. We go to the zoo. I don't even want to go to the snake exhibit. Called a spider hater. See a spider, I smash it with no mercy whatsoever. But only in the scripture to let me know where I am without God's help. Only God has ever called me a God hater. I don't want to be that with his help. How do I get out of the mess that I've created? No matter what kind of problems you face this week in life, could be health problems, could be financial problems or family problems. The Lord wants to let us know our biggest problem always is sin. That's our biggest problem all the time. That's the only problem that can take us all the way to hell. And so one step in turning from an enemy of God, when we pick a fight with him and say, "Why do you hate me, God?" The first step in turning from an enemy of God to becoming God's friend is to say, "Lord, I recognize I've become an enemy of yours by the way I've treated you. And I think you're just firing rules at me, and I don't know if you love me. How can I trust you?" And so we rebel against him. He will help us if we would admit that direction in our life, that without Christ, we indeed live as God's enemies. Even the Lord talks to a church that he really loved, the Philippian church, in chapter 3 of that letter that Paul wrote to a Philippian church. He said many would live as the enemies of Christ's cross. That when we try to take control of our lives and say we could do it, we'll live our life the way we want, work our way up to God, whatever, that we become an enemy of his. And to confess, I've made myself an enemy of God. God did nothing to deserve my wrath or my indignation. I need somebody to come and make peace between me and God, because I don't even know how to do that myself. He has to intervene. And he does. The second part of becoming a friend of God, not his enemy, is to see Jesus, the faithful one, step forward for you and I. Step as close to us as humanly possible. Divine intervention, as it were. The faithful Jesus steps forward. And while you and I are hating God or being an enemy of his, you know, he comes and says, "I will be your friend." He's called the faithful and true one in the Bible. And no matter how many times we haven't been faithful or true to him, he comes to be faithful and true on our behalf. He gives his life for us at the cross for the forgiveness of sins and for a brand new life with him. And he is the one who makes peace between us and God. And only he could do it, even in the midst of our being an enemy. The Bible says while we were still an enemy, God would make us friends through Christ. I remember sitting down one time with an older Christian man right after I got out of seminary. He was trying to give me some advice that I really didn't want. And in the midst of telling me those things, he came out with this statement that almost fell off my chair. He said, "I'm telling you this because I care about you. I am not your enemy." And there I was thinking, why in the world would he say that? How did he know I didn't like him? I was trying to hide it so well. But he sensed something in me that was pushing any advice toward Christ away, and therefore was pushing him away. And bottom line was, because I was pushing God away. At that time, I did have a well-hidden anger and mistrust of God. Wasn't quite sure what he would do with my life. And so I wasn't about to show any love or listen to any of his children, that's for sure. But this man said to me, "I am not your enemy." He became a friend to me, even though I treated him as an enemy. That's what Jesus does for us. He says, "I am not your enemy. I am your friend." This morning, as God deals with us at the level of who we are, not the Lord as a puppet on a string, not us as a puppet on strings from him, but coming with love and commitment to us. Sin is that serious that God would call it rebellion. But Jesus is that great, and that he'd become a friend to us when we would need that friend. He's the most faithful friend you and I have or ever will have. He is trustworthy and true. the Bible says. He'll be there for you all the time. Love us no matter what. The good news, God demonstrates his love. While we were enemies, we were brought back to him by the death of his son. I think there's many people in church life who can be brought back to God by Jesus. Wouldn't you like to be brought back to God today because of Christ's love? I think of the Apostle Paul. He was up to his sleeves, up to his ears or neck in doing things. Things that he felt were good. He was giving it his best effort. And yet when Jesus confronted him, Jesus said, Paul, why are you against me? Why are you persecuting me? And of course, Paul had it in for other believers also. And Christ made peace with Paul. And so Paul became somebody who passed on the news. Don't be an enemy of God. God's a friend to you. Become a friend to him. I'm sure you need a friend. There's no one in the church today who should walk around in the unreality. No one is my friend. Christ is your friend. No matter how you've treated him up to this point in your life or even this past week. He can bring peace between you and God, peace between you and others, and peace with yourself. A contentment that he provides at the cross. And there's joy when we let God make us his friend and not his enemy. We become a friend of his. In the last verse read this morning, because of this, we rejoice in God. We're happy about him. And when there's joy in God through Christ, God gives us gladness and gratitude instead of anger and animosity. And I know Jesus can do that for each heart here today. We were heard a missionary speak last Tuesday. He made this statement. He said, what do you think is the number one reason why people lose their joy in life? And he said it was because people forget about Christ, forget about Jesus, and begin to live life on their own, whether they're Christian or not, kind of pulling their own weight, as it were. And I heard a story this morning of a man who had heart surgery. And after the heart surgery, he just wasn't able to recover. You might say he lost his will to keep going. And his wife said about him that dimness came into his spirit. And that can happen physically to us when we go through any kind of serious surgery. Dimness came into his spirit. But in your life with God, has dimness come to your spirit? And Christ, who he is, has just been forgotten in the midst of all the activity and rush you have. He comes as a person to bring the joy of himself. Remember, as you trust Christ, and how he can turn you from an enemy into a friend. You're not trusting in a practice. You're not trusting in a religion. You're not trusting in a group. You're trusting in a person. God himself. He's for you. A living Savior. Somebody trustworthy and true. And I know one person said, people in my life, it's been difficult. I feel like people have lied to me and betrayed me. And yet they went on to say, but Christ and Jesus has never lied to me and never betrayed me. How wonderful a Savior he is. And the joy he brings when he brings peace with God begins to play itself out in other relationships. The older gentleman who attempted to be my friend just didn't attempt that. He proved himself true to that and became a friend to me, even though I treated him in the opposite direction. Jesus gives joy in a walk with him that we don't have because of making an enemy between ourselves and God. And think of the phrase again of the teenage gal who said, why do you hate me? You're just trying to control my life, not sure that you love me. And that's played out in a number of ways in our own life, which is sometimes a reflection of how we feel about the Lord. Many think of government And when we think of government not as a gift of God, not as servants of God, but government, they're a pain. They don't love us. They just try to control our lives or tell us what to do. Young people feel that way about parents when love is not known. Employees feel that way about bosses, as if the boss was called to love you with some kind of unconditional love. Perhaps not. But also that's reflected sometimes in the way we treat each other as believers. I've had the blessed experience of being a part of four different groups of Christians, starting out Catholic, being with Baptists in college, being with Presbyterians after that, being with Alliance after that. In God's providence, I look at those things as a blessing, not in terms of being confused myself. So that part of that may be there. But in every one of those fellowships, I heard in some manner the cry for Christ and his presence and his love in the statement, that church doesn't love me. They just want to tell me what to do. And if you've had that experience, it's probably because of one of two reasons. One is because the love of Christ is passed on imperfectly so often and so poorly by believers. He loves us faithfully and unconditionally and gives his presence in there. And people we're not good at that. We're slow to do that. And so many times a Christian in a fellowship will feel that way. Hey, my church doesn't love me. They just want to tell me what to do, you know. And there's that a sense of loss. And Christ could come in that situation, bring healing. Again, take center of how you feel about people around you, perhaps even in your own home. And then the second reason that can often happen, why do you hate me, is that perhaps in your heart you see God as your enemy. You see God as your enemy. You've been through a number of difficult things in your life that were very painful, and you have said to God, God, why do you hate me? You just keep giving me these rules, and I'm not sure whether you really love me and I can trust you. If you were with me, Lord, things would be different. Well, God is with you. And they can be different because you can be different. And he would come as a friend maker between himself and you and be the peace that you need. And he would come and say to you, like that elderly man said to me, I am not your enemy. I am your faithful and true friend. And I will love you today and forever, 100%, and for eternity. You can count on that. He is very, very trustworthy. The Lord is. And in your life, as you seek to follow God, know that who Jesus is would be the friend you need to find peace with God again. If that's a gift you need to carry toward Easter. Peace with God through Christ. That's why he came. And to be reconciled in your walk with him. Have joy about God again. Turn to Christ and find life again. I find as a pastor, when I want to meet Jesus again, I try not to increase my activity or increase the rules that I have to follow. Look for some other people to lay some rules on me, straighten me out. That's an impossible task. But I look to Christ, a wonderful Redeemer, Savior and friend, who shares with us God's own very own friendship and lordship and company. And when we find ourselves as his believers wanting to trust and obey because of his love for us. I leave you with these verses having to do with joy in Christ that you could have this morning. God turning us from his enemies to his friends. Listen to these words. Psalm 5. Lord, let all who take shelter in you rejoice. It's yourself taking shelter in Christ. And then Psalm 16, Lord, you will fill me with joy in your presence. Lord, help us refocus to walk with you, because there is peace and joy in you. Psalm 51, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Lord, give us something beyond a superficial happiness, but a deep, abiding gratitude and contentment in you. Restore that to us, Lord. It has to do with Jesus. And then the promise from Jesus himself. He says in John 16, you will see me again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Perhaps you've walked with Christ a little while or not much. Jesus says, you can see me again. And when you do, I'll give you joy, and no one will take away that joy. At the cross, God changes us from enemies to his friend. Might you embrace his friendship today. He loves you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these verses of promise, but Jesus, beyond what you say, who you are and what you've done for us, we do want to be people who walk with the living Christ. And to know you is to know life forever, Lord. I pray that as a gift from us to you, that we who gather and perhaps even during a season called Lent, attempt to gather more and more, hopefully just to be close to you. But many perhaps feeling the more religious they are, the more accepted they'll be. Lord, help us to see that the grace of God and the friendship of Jesus is what we need for life forever, for life this week. Might we know your friendship and respond in a glad trust and obedience to you. Minister to each heart here, Father, in your good, faithful way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.